Well, good morning. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. I know it's not here yet, but I can say it because I'm up here and you're not. So, no, I'm just kidding. I heard somebody say, what's he looking at his phone for? It's got a clock on it. So I just want to make sure that we get out by 1 o'clock. So we're good to go. Well, I'm always honored when Brother Joe lets me be in the pulpit. And I count it a privilege. People always ask, because I do this full time, do you get nervous whenever you, about 10 minutes before, man, my hands start getting nervous. And I pray that that'll always happen because I just become more and more dependent on God and what He wants me to do and say. I hope that I'm always a bit nervous when I step in this pulpit. But when I get in the pulpit, I always feel assured of where the direction that God wants me to go. Brady read a little bit of the Christmas story and how the people began to follow after this star. And that's what I want to talk about just for a few minutes. And I want to flip over to another scripture. And I want you to notice something in that passage that where it says, when they got to the place where the child was, it said when they looked at the star. It said when they looked at the star, they became excited. They became overjoyed, exceedingly glad, exceedingly happy. When they looked at the star, I always found that odd that it wasn't when they looked at the child, it was when they looked at the star. And I believe the star was, in our lives, there should be a star that leads us to a place of anticipation. The star was an anticipation toward Christ. Do you realize that? The star was something that was they were following that star by faith. You say, well, no, they were following God. No, they were following a star that God told them to follow. They were following something going, this is the star we're supposed to follow. And this star that we follow, it must lead us to something that we've read about, that we've heard about. And so the star led them to a place of anticipating that there would be a God that God would birth through He birthed a son that would save the nation, that would save the world. It was the star that they anticipated. It was the arrival of Christ, but it was the star that led them to that place of anticipation. And my question is, do you anticipate things? Now, for children and youth, they wouldn't admit it because they're cool. Some of them really anticipated. You parents know when you look at your kid, you go, are you excited for Christmas? Yeah, yeah. And they get real excited and they stiffen up because what is that about? Well, they're anticipating opening a gift. They're anticipating the day of Christmas. And our UR is the star that says that day is coming. And when they look at the tree, they look at that tree and they look under the presents, and it's the presents. The presents are the stars that lead them to anticipate the day. And really, teenagers, you were excited. Some of you go, yeah, I really was. But you would never admit it again because they get to that cool stage and they just think, because you'll ask teenagers, you excited about Christmas? Yeah. But inside they're going, yeah, I hope I get what I want. Well, as these people began to hear about this star, this is what they wanted. They wanted the Savior of the world to come. They anticipated it. Coming here to First Groves now, I anticipate great things for this body. And I love to sit down and talk with Brother Joe, and we talk about the anticipation of what God will do here. Why would God put us here if just to be here? As a community of believers? No, there's so much more. Do you anticipate things in your life? When's the last time you anticipated something? I mean, I know life gets short and it gets busy, and there are times that I anticipate the little things, like when I go to eat a buffet. Now, some of you men, You got to be honest. There are times when you know that you're going to eat somewhere, and so you don't eat very heavily all day because you know you're going to gorge yourself when you go to that place. You know what that is? That's anticipation. What do you anticipate when you walk in this building? What do you anticipate when you walk into your quiet time or your closet? What do you anticipate when you open up the Word of God at your desk or at your work? What do you anticipate? Hey, listen, what do you anticipate for your family, for your children? If there's not any anticipation in your life, then you're not looking forward to anything. What are you looking forward to? Well, some of you are going, well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to heaven. Well, until you're there, there's something more here on earth that you need to anticipate. To simply just look toward heaven is not the only anticipation. Hey, listen, to know what God's going to do with you while you're on this earth. You know why I know that? Because it says that, listen, it says in the Bible, it says that you will do the greater things. What are the greater things for First Baptist Church Groves? Listen, what are the greater things for me? What are the greater things for you in this community? To have a job, to have children? There's got to be more, isn't there? Is that the greater thing, that we would have children and jobs and our lives would be secure? Or is the greater thing what you can't see, the things that you think about? Hey, let me ask you this. What are your dreams? Some of you have let go of your dreams. And the very dreams that you let go of, the desires of your heart that you let go of, are God's desires. And you've let your dreams go. You've given up because the world is nasty. What do you anticipate? Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to read a different story about a man who anticipated something. You have to remember, when you read this book of Luke, or this letter of Luke, or this information, you have to understand that, of course, Luke, it was like they were on this big healing tour. If you read all of Luke, it's like God and his disciples are walking through, and he was just touching things. He was changing people's lives. Things were great in the life of the disciples as they followed. He was on this healing tour all the time. He was healing people. He was touching people. He was making a difference in people's lives. And he gets to this point. Now, I'm not going to add to the scripture, but I'm not going to take away, because you have to look beyond what's in here and go, well, what happened here? And in chapter 18, verse 35, it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road. And he was begging. That's what he did. He was blind. That's what he did each day. They'd bring him out to this place. They'd sit him down and he'd just beg for money. That was his life. Can you imagine that? That was his life. Some people may have taken him there, but after years and years of being blind, maybe he walked there himself because he knew the number of paces. He knew where to turn. Or maybe one of his good friends would say, let me walk you out there. And he would sit down and he would beg for money, because that's the only living he could do. And people would walk by and throw him some coins, and he would just beg. And he would say, you know, give me some money, alms for the blind, give me some money. That's all he did. But something had happened to that man. He heard a story. And this is how I know this. Because all of a sudden, look what happens. It says, by the road, and when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. So, usually it's just a few people, but all of a sudden, he knows, because I've never been blind, but they say, as you lose your sight, your hearing, or if you've lost your sight, your hearing becomes very sensitive. And so he hears all these people walking by. He hears a crowd. It's something different. Enough that he didn't ask for money, but he says, hey, what's going on? What's going on? He didn't even know who he's talking to. And as they walk by, and I love what they say. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, now let's go back into his memory just a little bit. Somewhere along the way, you go, how do you know this, Pat? It's right here for you. Because look at his next words. He called out, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, how did he know to call out? How would a blind man who just simply made money by sitting there, what would he, that Jesus of Nazareth, in his mind, he remembered Jesus. Jesus, he thought about it. How did he know to say, Son of David? He learned the heritage of this man named Jesus. How did he know that? Because somewhere probably along the way, there was some lady or there was some man that had met Jesus, and maybe they've been healed. Or maybe God touched their lives. Or maybe God saved them by their faith. And they came back and sat and talked. And maybe he was in a crowd and he was just listening to conversation. Or maybe he was sitting at a table eating and the people over there were talking. He was eavesdropping. I don't know how it happened. But in his mind and in his heart, he had heard of Jesus. He'd heard what Jesus had done. He'd heard about it. And he thought, wow, maybe a friend of his had gotten healed. You're going, Pat, that's a lot of maybes. Well, I want to know why he was able to say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He knew something was up with Jesus. You know why? Because he heard the story. And in his mind, he began to dream. I really believe this. I believe this man began to dream. He began to think. Or maybe he heard the story about his friend. Listen, let me show you my arm. Come here. What arm? You don't have an arm. And he goes, you've never had an arm. And he goes, well, feel. That's your other one. No. Listen, feel this one. You have an arm. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth. And he told the story. So he began to think and anticipate. Wow, what happened if I met this God? You ever think that? You ever think, what happened if God would do that with my life? What happened if God would do that with my church? Wow. What would happen? And so he conjured up in your mind. And now some of you, this is foreign to you, but I was always a dreamer. I really am. I'm a dreamer. You don't have any problems. You'll have to put a rope around me to pull me back because I'm going, let's try it. But I'm a little cautious, too. I don't want to do dumb things, but I want us to dream big. And so I remember even when I was a kid, and I would sit there and be a little bored in class. And some of you teachers, I was the kid that would sit there and color. And I would make battles on my drawing. I'd make tanks and mountains. And I could see the whole battle. That's the kind of kid I was. Patrick? Yes, sir? Put that up. And you know what? I would put it away. But I remember dreaming, because the battle's not... What are we going to do when they get on the other side of the mountain? I remember when I watched Johnny Tremaine. Anybody remember watching that movie when you were a kid? They don't watch it anymore? You know, about, Fifth grade, Johnny Tremaine. Man, I played Johnny Tremaine. I had the gun. You know, it was a stick. Still worked. And I'd run around and I'd play like I was Johnny Tremaine. Man, the Boston Tea Party had happened. And I remember I was playing one time and I slipped and fell on a cactus and I got cactus all over me. But I remember, why did I get in trouble? Because I was imagining. When's the last time you imagined something? When you dreamed what God could do? You know, I dreamed some time of, I'll just tell you, can I tell you a dream of mine? I think about sometimes, it's weird. But I looked when I passed by 4th Avenue Baptist Church. It is all beat up now and has holes in it. And y'all have seen it, haven't you? Sometimes I think, what would happen if I just went out there with a lawn chair and I planted myself there? People say, what are you doing? I'm having church. You want to join me? And I dream. I think, what happened if we rebuilt that? I'm not trying to put that in your head, but that's the way I think. What about here? What do you dream about? What do you think God can do with you, church, as an individual? He dreamed about it. Look, let's go on. But I love what he says. The next thing, then the religious people come and get in the way. Don't you love religious people? Watch this. 39, welcome the religious. Those who led the way rebuked him. Don't you like that? These were people that were hanging out with Jesus. Don't you love it? They were hanging out with God, watching all these things happen, going, we're with Jesus. We're paving the way. Come on. Yeah, we're the disciples. We're the followers. And we're not just talking about the 12 disciples. We're talking about the other disciples that begin to follow the rabbi, Jesus. And they would walk and they'd see all these things. And then this blind man sitting there, hey, what's going on? Jesus of Nazareth come by. I thought of him. Jesus! They start screaming. They say, man, shut up. Jesus is walking by. Be quiet. We got work to do here. Wait a minute, I'm the work. And the religious is going, no, you're not the work. Jesus is passing by. We got people to heal. What do you want? We got people to... Be quiet. Now, I want you to learn some points in here. Number one, listen, you have to call. What do you want? Call out. I dream to God. I say, God, could you make this happen? Hey, God, is this a desire for me? You know what I pray most of the time? God, if the desire is not yours, take it away because I don't want to waste my time and I don't want to waste your time. I want your desires in my heart and I want you to give me those desires. It says he will give us the desires of our heart when we begin to take lots of biblical intake and we begin to grow in our relationship with him and we begin to focus on who he is and look at his character and look what he did and look at the things that happened to the people that he invested the truth into to invest into a world. that needed it desperately. And so I want to make my call out. Hey, God, I don't know if this is your dream or not. I don't know if this is my dream or not. But listen, it's on my heart, so I'm going to ask for it. Either give it to me or take it away. And I want to tell you something. Over my short 44 years, God has given me some amazing dreams and desires. And I'm not done yet. People go, well, you're on the downhill run. No, sir, it's uphill till I am 6 feet under. When are you going to retire? I'll just play more golf, but I'll witness on that golf course. But I'm not going to quit ministry. He called out. But secondly, look at this. There are people that are going to rebuke your call. Some of you just, your biggest call, your biggest need is, hey, God, I have some questions for you. Was the last time you were honest enough to go, God, could you answer this question for me? All the tough ones that nobody can answer. Hey, God, why did I get cancer? Hey, God, why are we getting a divorce? Hey, God, why did I have a bad father, a bad mother? Why, hey, God, I raised my kid pretty well. Why did they run off and do this? Hey, God, could you... Hey, God, I'm calling to you. When's the last time you called to God and said, I've got some deep issues? He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of your issues. Some of us in parenting, we're afraid when our kids said, hey, I need to talk to you. We go, our knees begin to buckle. We go, okay, let's sit down for this. What is it? Well, I need to ask you something. Okay. God's not up there when you want to ask him something going, okay. Okay, let me sit down. Give me a chair, Holy Spirit. I have a feeling this is going to be bad. I have a feeling this is going to be a tough question. This is going to be a tough request. They're anticipating too much from me. I don't think I can offer it. God can offer anything to you. And if it's on your heart, there's a good chance that it's from God. It's a desire. So are you dreaming? And have you made your call? But then the religious come along and tell you you're crazy. Don't you love that? If anything is killing the church today, it's religion. I'm telling you, folks, and you say, well, I've heard that for years and years. Listen, religion is killing a church. Religion is chasing away lost people. It's giving them a crutch to stand on to say, that's why I don't go to church. That's a crutch. I blame them for using it as a crutch, and I blame us as believers in Christ for holding religion over a relationship. It doesn't matter what this church is, or whether it's brown or black or blue, or whether we're meeting in a tent. Man, I was in Plano not too long ago, like last month, and I met with like 65 people under a tree in a park in Plano, Texas, and that was church. We ate sandwiches and then had church from 5 to 6 o'clock. Well, that's not normal. Well, we're not normal. How's that? So we got to go to a park where people aren't normal, just like we are, where they live and where they breathe and where teenagers hang out and lost people hang out and the homeless hang out. And so we bring church to them. That's what church is. That's what a relationship is. It's the last time you dreamed. What could we do in our place? Man, a crew called me from Houston area and said, hey, listen, we want to come do some mission work out here. Most of you heard the speaker. Oh, is it Omar that came and spoke at our mission? Well, the associate called me and said, hey, we want to do some stuff there. We want to come down there and bring our junior high students to do ministry. I said, that's great. Only on one condition. You can be in our building. You can do this. You can do that. We'll even help you come up with whatever you need. Oh, man, well, what do you want? I said, I want you to give to our community in Groves. I want all your junior high students to go out to the park where I have hundreds of them go to the Groves pool. And I want us to do some games for junior high students. Wow. We were thinking the same thing. What a dream. When's the last time you dreamed of the ministry you could do in your city? The things that God could do in your life. But boy, the religious will always say, oh, be quiet. That won't work here. We don't need to be doing that. Well, just look at them, nod your head and say, that's nice. And walk away and say, man, I anticipate what you're going to do in my life. I anticipate you're going to answer my prayer and give me the answer why I didn't have a father or why I didn't have a mother. What do you anticipate? He called out, and you have to call. And then there will always be those who are against your call. But look what he did. When they said, hey, be quiet! Look what he did. Look. But he shouted all the more. Don't you love that? He said, Jesus, son of David, be quiet. Jesus is walking by. Oh, okay. See, that's what we do. We go, oh, okay, I can't do that. I have a dream. Hey, Pastor, I have a dream. Hey, youth minister, I have a dream. I had kids come up to me and say, hey, I have this great idea. Great, what is it? Man, that's a great idea. So what do you think? No, what do you think? God gave you the idea. What do you need? It's your idea. It's not my dream. Yeah, but you're the minister. No, you're the minister. I've trained you enough that you began to listen to the Lord, and you've trained yourself to listen to the Lord. And now you got to get beyond me and get with God and say, God, this is your dream. Some of you are doing out there. You're doing separate things. And people are going, well, they shouldn't be doing that separate thing. Listen, the church is the church. Wherever you are, you're the church. When you're sitting in a plane 10,000 feet in the air, you're the church. Man, religious will rebuke you, but you got to make your call. You got to call louder. God, I need some answers. We give up too soon. Church, we give up. You as individuals, be careful that you're not giving up too soon. I've asked God. I just don't feel an answer. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what to do. Then you're not, listen, you're giving up. Because when you ask, what do you do, parents, when your kids ask you something? And then they ask you again. And then they ask you again. And then they ask you again. What do? You get frustrated and you say, okay, that's enough. I've heard it. I know what you want. Well, isn't God the perfect parent? Doesn't He sometimes... Listen, isn't God the perfect parent? If you ask, He's going to deliver it. But the point, I believe sometimes God goes, okay, I got it. Okay, I got it. But when are you going to wait? And those who learn to wait are the ones that persevere. Isn't that what Scripture says? And those who learn to wait are the ones that hear clearly what God wants to do with your life. Waiting's hard, isn't it? I hate waiting. Man, some of us get in line. You ever done that in a restaurant? I'm ready to sit down. It's been like 3 minutes. You get in an elevator, you're thinking, good night. This is the slowest elevator, and you've been there for 30 seconds. Stop and look at the time that you go, oh, come on. It's been 4 seconds since you haven't pressed on the gas. Start timing and realize that, you know, what are you doing? We don't like to wait, do we? We want it now. I wonder how often God wants it now out of us. I want you to listen now. I want you to be saved now. I want you to start living the life that I've desired for you, and I've grown and I've purposed for you. I want you to start living it now. But He's patient with us. But we are so impatient with God. The older I get, the more I know I just got to wait. I got to wait for people to change. You ever waited for somebody to change? I'm not talking about changing clothes, boys and girls. I'm talking about changing. Waiting for them to get it, for the light bulb to come on in their head that they're being goobers. You ever met? Try working with teenagers 25 years. Sorry, guys. Not these. These are good kids. I've walked with some, and they're just making the same old mistakes over and over. But how about adults? In 1 month, I found out that two of my friends are getting divorced or had affairs. And I think, when are they going to wake up? Just got to wait. Got to love them through it. Be patient, just like God is patient with you. But I love what Jesus does. When you call, your call has to be clear. There were those who rebuke your call. But listen to this. Listen, you have to be loud in your search. He screamed louder. You ever had somebody that has been annoying to you? Really, I'm honest. Where you're going, okay, or somebody gets in your face, you know, the little space, you're going, hey, okay, yeah. You kind of step away and they go, oh, I want to tell you. And they annoy you. How many of you have ever met people like that? Are they annoying in what they do and how they, maybe they laugh real loud. Even right now, somebody going, that's weird. Yeah, you ever been around people like that? Their laugh, their cackle, you're going, okay. Okay, it's awkward to you. You're just going, oh, man, I don't know. That's a teenage thing, okay? Anyway, so it's awkward. You met people that were awkward. So all of a sudden, this man began to scream out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus. And they're going, shut up. And I love Jesus going, come on, guys. Hey, yeah, bring him to me. Yeah, the loud one, the screaming one, the one that you guys wanted to pass up, bring him to me. The one that annoys you, I'm drawn to him. And so all of a sudden, man, they bring this guy up here. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, I want you to listen to this question. Very simple. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want? What do you want? What answer do you need? I got things that I want. I'm talking about tangible things. I got things that I want. Hey, you know what? I want to know why God sent me here to my hometown. You're going, well, to help with the youth ministry and to work with Brady. Yeah, but you know what? There's something more. I know there's something more. What do you want? I want to know what God brought me here for. Don't you ever wonder what God did? Why God brought something into your life? You think it's just by a little happenstances that little things happen to you? What do you want? I want my kid to get well. But then ask him. And that's it. He's heard you. I want some answers to my life's questions. Then he'll ask you. I want to know why I'm single and I just can't seem to find the right person. But then ask him. When you ask him, anticipate the answer. Anticipate what God wants you to do. I wonder why God hadn't sold my house. Anticipate. Say, God, why don't you sell my house? Do you not want me to sell the house? And I need to rethink things here? God, where am I going to go to college? We're asking. Where are you going to go to college? You're asking everybody else, where do you think I should go to college? Which college do you like the best? Don't ask me. I pick colleges based on color. I think they're pretty. That's it. You're weird, Pat. I like certain colors. You go there, yeah, the colors are pretty. Think of yourself in a jersey in that school. That'd look good on you. You'd go to college for that? Yeah. I don't care. God doesn't want to know God wants to know, what do you want? What do you want? I want to know where I'm going to go to college. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a few things. I want to know why you haven't spent time with me. I want to know why you haven't done what I've asked you to do. I want to know why you have been difficult in the church today and you're causing more problems than you are good things. I want to know why you can never be happy with what's going on in the body of Christ. I want to know why you want something from me, but yet you never get to know me. You ever think of the questions that God asks us? Why? Well, God, why did this happen to me? Don't worry about why. Worry about what? What exactly? What are you going to do with what life's been handed to you? Brady and I have a friend. His name's Ethan. He's in a wheelchair. Some of you know Ethan. He's a guy that's I can't remember. I can't come to my mind. Muscular dystrophy, and he's a funny guy. How many know Ethan? Ethan just cracks me up. I'm preaching a service one day, at a camp. There's about 500 kids sitting there, and Ethan's in his wheelchair. And Ethan wouldn't mind me telling the story, but he'd laugh about it. And he's in a wheelchair. And I'm the guy that picks on him all the time and says, hey, man, how come you're always sitting down? Let me have a seat, you know? And he just laughs. And the kids that don't know that we know one another going, oh, that's mean. And Ethan and I just laugh at it. Yeah, it's funny. But one day I was praying at the end of the service, and I said, everybody keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. But my eyes were open. And I said, let's all stand up. And there's Ethan in his wheelchair. And I looked right at him. And in an instant, I went, oh. But within a second, Ethan goes, he's looking up at me because I tell the adults to look up. And Ethan's sitting in that wheelchair and he goes, well, I'm sitting there trying to have an invitation. And he's making me feel okay that I said something that he couldn't do. Why? Because he's embraced what God has given him. I love Dave Busby, who is a great communicator, a great man of God who died of cystic fibrosis years ago. And I remember him saying, you know, I've prayed and asked God to heal me. I love these words, but I've been healed of the need to be healed. Some of you need to be healed of the need to be healed. To be healed of the need to have an answer. To be healed of the need to have something fall into place on your timing. You need to be healed of the need to have an answer. I've been healed of the need to be healed. I'll never forget those words. One of the last messages he ever preached. You got to make your call loud. You got to remember, Jesus looks at you today as he did this man. He said, "What do you want?" When's the last time you told him? And then you anticipated him answering it. Just like they anticipated the star, they knew that it would leave. And just like that man who's blind dreamed. You think he'd dream one day? Wow, maybe he could heal me. I mean, if this is true, maybe my eyes, maybe I could see. When's the last time you dreamed? He said, "Lord," I want you to see his response. God looked at him and said, "Hey, he's blind." Remember, he's going, "Oh, yeah. Jesus, yeah. Hey, it's Jesus. Jesus, what do you want?" "What? What do you want?" How many of you like to watch The Christmas Story? You know what I'm talking about? That's one of my favorite stories. I tell you, I'm weird. I love the part where he goes, "Oh, he tried to ask the teacher. You'll shoot your eye out." He tried to ask his mom. "You'll shoot your eye out. You'll always shoot your eye out with the BB gun." But I love when he said, he's laying there going, "Oh, Santa. I will ask Santa." So he waits in line, jumps in his lap. Y'all remember what happened? He says, "Well, ho, 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 what do you want for Christmas, young man?" He lost it. He couldn't remember that he wanted that Red Ryder BB gun. And so out of his mouth came, and so Santa said, "You want a football?" "Yeah, a football." And he thought, oh no. And they sent him down in, and he rolled down the little slide. He stopped, started walking up. And he goes, wait. And they looked down at him. He goes, "I want the Red Ryder BB gun with the..." And he goes, "You'll shoot your eye out. Ho, ho, ho," and he kicked him down the slide. You know, we do the same thing to God. God will look at us and go, "What do you want? Do you think that blind man, he look, what do you want?" I can't remember. Somebody says, "You want a football?" "I want a football." All right, be a football, you know. But instead, he didn't. He had thought about what he wanted. He had dreamed, he had anticipated, maybe, just maybe, I will meet Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, God will come into my life and speak to my heart. You ever just wish God would speak to you audibly? How many of you ever wished that? That God would all of a sudden, you know, I've dreamed that God, maybe one day, not because of me, but because your spirit's so strong in me and I'll pay attention to you, that one day, maybe in a service, something will happen, something will give, and your glory will drop, and you'll use me because that's what I dream of, and something will happen, and it will drift all over the place, and this city would be changed, or wherever I'm speaking. You go, "Pat, you live in La La Land." That's where God is. He saves people that think they can't be saved. He dreams for us dreams we cannot imagine. He dreamed so far in advance, he sent his son to die on a cross for us. He anticipated you coming to know him through his son, or he would have not sent the son to die. He anticipates people coming to know him. He anticipates you sharing. He anticipates you living out your life to the full. He anticipates you asking questions. He anticipates everything because he knows everything. Time is not an issue with God. So I challenge you this morning to do what this man did. "Hey, what do you want?" "I want to see. I want to see." Now, have you thought about that? Is that what Jesus said? "Now, are you sure that's what you want? Listen, I know there's a lot of things I could give you. You sure you want to see? How about a new cup for some, you know, we can put some money in. How about a new bowl? Because I'm not big enough to make you see. I want to see." And look what happened. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." And there is the problem. You realize that most scripture always leads back to faith? It always leads back to your faith in Him. That's why people have a hard time believing in God. Well, I don't believe it. Well, then you have no faith. I can't believe that God did this. Well, then you have no faith. Faith is a non-negotiable in the Christian walk. You have to have faith. You have to have faith God will answer your prayer. You have to have faith that God can heal you when He wants you to. You have to have faith that God may heal you of the need to be healed and you'll quit asking for your healing. You have to have faith. Just like I'm going to have faith that God's going to reveal to me in my time what I'm supposed to do. That's my challenge to you. That you would have to call. That some will always be against your healing or your call. But when they're against you, you have to search. You have to scream louder. You have to make your request clear. And once you do that, look what happens. Your faith has healed you. Look what happened. Don't lose me. I'm almost done. Immediately he received his sight. And look what he did. He followed Jesus. That's where we mess up. God, please do this. God, thank you. He's been so good to some of you, me included, for this past month, for the past 2 weeks. You've received it. And you know what you do? You walk away. Thanks, God. Instead, he doesn't want you to walk away. He wants you to step closer and become a true disciple of his and start listening to him more. He wants you to listen. He wants you to follow. How do you do that? I challenge you as a believer. What about your Bible intake? How often do you read the Bible? I don't want to make you feel bad. That's not my job. But I'm just asking you, do you want to be a follower? Read the Word. Well, I don't have time. No. Okay, you're lying to yourself. You have time. You have time. Okay, you don't understand between the soccer games and the who's running your life, your kids or you? Hey, you have time. Biblical intake. How about personal times of worship besides here? Where you get up and you drink your coffee, and as you drink it, you praise God for the day and for your children. When's the last time you've done that? I'm challenging you as the new year begins to be a disciple. Ask Him what you want. I believe He will answer you, but you have to follow Him closer. And look what will happen. He followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. See, healing produces true followers. Faith is a key. And after God answers you, there has to be praise. Well, when's the last time you praised God? Really praise God for the goodness that He's given you, for the prayers that He's answered. You know, when you stand before people, you know you're a sinner. And I always ask God the same question. What am I possibly going to tell you? No, I'm serious. What am I going to tell you? What good am I up here for you? I'm just somebody asking the same questions you're asking, folks. I'm somebody needing answers, and I'm somebody hurting just like you're hurting, and I'm somebody wondering why just like you're wondering why and trying to put it into what. And life is hard, isn't it? But God is so good to us. What do you want? Start telling Him. What's your desire? What do you want for this church? Until you're 6 feet under, God's not finished. So there's got to be more. There's got to be more. I challenge you this year to read your Bible more. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Preacher's got to say it. No, I'm serious. Read it. Start praying more. I want to be a better prayer warrior this year. I really do. I want to pray harder. Start doing what God tells you when somebody comes to your mind. Why don't you call Him? Instead of not calling them or text them and say, I'm praying for you, thinking of you. That's the Holy Spirit telling you to do that. Do you know that? When's the last time you had some quiet time just with yourself? Times of solace where you just get by yourself and you veg. You, you, You intake more of the Bible, but you relax about the world around you. When's the last time you dreamed for this church? Man, after I heard Omar, and I see us going all over the world. So did Brother Joe. We were talking, I think Joe and Charles and I, just talked, just dream. Since when's the last time you dreamed for your youth ministry? What do you need? What do you want to ask God? Let's pray together. I challenge you this morning not to just get ready to go. We've left plenty of time. You'll be out here by noon. But maybe you would say, you know, there are some questions I have for God. There are some dreams that I've let go. Or maybe you're the one that's given up on the church because maybe things didn't go the way you wanted them to go. Or you're wondering what's going on. Well, I challenge you during this time of invitation. Why don't you ask God some deep questions? Because they're not deep for him. And he desires to answer them. For some of you in this room, you've yet to ask him the greatest question of all. Will you come into my life and save me? Will you help me recognize that I'm nothing without you? So I challenge you. Don't leave because this is the invitation. Walk toward God right now. And you won't have to walk far. Father, I thank you so much that you anticipate life. That you anticipate life for us. That you anticipate the day that we would come to know you, that you would anticipate this moment. And you already know the deep questions we're going to ask, the hurts that we need healed. I pray, Father, that I would be comfortable and willing to accept the answer. Whether it's wait, give me direction, no or yes, but I know, I anticipate you putting the desires that you have on my heart and the heart of this church. We anticipate you, Father. Moving. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.